This is NHL Audio, presented by XM.
All right, let's bring in one of our insiders, Chris Johnson, on the phone. And Chris, your reaction to Marty Brodeur hiring an agent?
Well, that was certainly a bit of a bombshell this morning, wasn't it, guys? I mean, it's a little bit of a strange situation, I think, in general, that it's gotten to this point with Marty Brodeur, where we're sitting here a day and a half before the free agency opens and he hasn't had a contract. And, you know, I think it's a little different situation for Zach Parise, who probably wanted to test the market at his age. But you would think Brodeur, a lifelong Devil, you know, really someone that it's almost impossible to imagine him playing for someone else, would get to this point where he's got to make that decision. And, you know, as I heard EJ mentioning there, I don't think that this means by any stretch that Marty's definitely done with the Devils, but he certainly appears as though he's going to, you know, test the market and see what else could be out there for him before making his decision, which, you know, really is newsworthy in itself, because I don't think this guy really wants to play anywhere else, or at least he didn't want that a couple weeks ago.
And then you have certainly the Devils, Chris, working on Zach Parise. I mean, is this a situation in New Jersey now where the focus is so much on Zach Parise? I mean, the other guys that we talked about, those fourth liners, I mean, those are small contracts, and those were ones that are pretty easy to go straight forward and get done. But is the focus on Zach Parise so much that they really don't know where they're going to be with Marty Brodeur until they figure out Zach Parise?
I think, yeah, they definitely are linked, those situations. And, you know, with the uncertain ownership, I'm not sure, you know, what kind of money they can be throwing around at this point. But, you know, in Zach Parise's case, I sort of understand where he's at, because this could almost be, you know, a once-in-a-career kind of situation for him, depending what kind of contract he ends up signing at this point. And he might want to look around and see what his options are before making that decision. And, you know, I'm not the least bit surprised to see him, you know, still in that point now. And I get the sense from that camp that he's in a bit of a holding pattern, just waiting for July 1. And, you know, he also hasn't ruled out the Devils, and, you know, he could return as well. But, you know, it's certainly interesting times in New Jersey, quite a contrast from what's gone on in L.A., the team they played in the Cup Final, where they're locking up their guys, and New Jersey seems to be at least threatening here to lose some of their top players.
Chris, is it your sense that the Devils' ownership situation is to blame for what's going on here with Brodeur and Parise in terms of not getting these guys locked up?
Yeah, I think it's cast sort of a pall over the situation, or at least, you know, left it up in the air. And, you know, you got to think Marty Brodeur probably isn't, you know, completely pleased with the way things have played out. I think for him to hire an agent, given that he's negotiated the last number of deals he's had on his own, is a pretty strong statement, I think. And, you know, it might even just be to try to force the issue a bit with the Devils, you know, almost giving him a little bit more leverage than perhaps he would have had. But I think that is probably the main reason why, you know, the team finds itself in this position it does heading into July 1st.
Hey, Chris, let's go from a first ballot Hall of Fame goaltender with a lot of experience to a defenseman that's never played a game in the National Hockey League. Justin Schultz, who's the apple of several teams' eyes. There was five teams that have been widely reported, four of them in Canada, Vancouver, Edmonton, Toronto, Ottawa, and then the New York Rangers, that have been chasing young Justin Schultz, who was a free agent via the University of Wisconsin. Have we heard anything else today that leads us to believe that he's going to make a decision anytime soon, or that one of these teams is in the lead?
Certainly no word on which one is in the lead. I think everything's been kept pretty quiet there from the teams and also Schultz's camp. But, you know, this is a contract he can't sign until Sunday officially, but he can make a decision before then. And I wouldn't be surprised, you know, maybe that it's made tomorrow. But he's continued to camp out at his agency there and meet teams. And sort of, you know, really what he's got to decide is what's the best situation and city for him, because he will be signing an entry-level deal despite the fact he's an unrestricted free agent. And that means no team can basically offer a better financial package than any other. So for him, it comes down to, you know, where he sees a fit, perhaps, you know, what might be the best for his lifestyle and things like that. And, you know, it seems, you know, based on those teams, that he's kind of put a heavy emphasis on the Canadian team so far. But, you know, I think it says something that this guy's probably the most talked about defenseman other than Ryan Suter in terms of, you know, about to hit the market, because it looks like it'll be a significant asset for whoever gets him.
Chris, now that Corey Schneider has signed for 3 years with Vancouver, does this mean it, you think, more likely that they're going to move Roberto Luongo, at least speed up the time frame now that they've been able to lock up Schneider?
Well, the Canucks say that they're going to, you know, that they're in no rush and that they really want to make sure they do the right thing here. And, you know, I think Roberto Luongo will be moved before training camps open. But, you know, this is going to be a tough deal, I believe, for Mike Gillis to make, because, you know, we do know that teams he talked with at the draft last weekend, you know, namely the Florida Panthers and Toronto Maple Leafs, found the prices way too high on this guy. And there isn't necessarily a whole bunch of other teams, you know, that I think would be in the hunt for someone like Luongo. And, you know, if Gillis, you know, maintains that he, you know, this is one of the top 15 goaltenders in the world, as he put it, you know, that he's a significant asset and that he should get something strong back for him. You know, and if he's waiting for that, I think he might be waiting a long time, because, you know, I think if you're a team that's looking at acquiring Luongo, you know the situation in Vancouver. You know, now that Corey Schneider signed a deal that will pay him $4 million a year, you know, you don't want to be paying Luongo, you know, between 5 and 6. And, you know, I think other teams might have leverage on the Canucks in those negotiations. And this is something I anticipate will probably drag out a little bit while, you know, the Canucks try to find a dance partner and get down to what they need to get to make this deal done.
Yeah, no question, Chris. Other teams know exactly the predicament that the Canucks are in. Let me ask you about Shane Doan, and looks like he's going to test the market as well. He's having some meetings, I guess, with the potential owners of the Coyotes to try to maybe sway him before the 1st of July. What are you hearing about Shane Doan?
Well, to me, this is actually one of the more interesting cases, you know, that we're going to see play out this weekend. You know, there are some parallels, I think, to be made with the situation Martin Brodeur's been in, just because Shane Doan is, you know, so much a part of that organization, you know, going back to the original Winnipeg Jets, and obviously the last 15 years or so in Phoenix. And, you know, I kind of wonder, you know, I had a chance to speak with him the other day, and, you know, if this is maybe a bit of a Pandora's box for Shane. I mean, he still, you know, really does want to, you know, his heart does remain in Phoenix, but this is the first time in his career that he's going to hit the open market. It appears that that's certainly going to be the case for Sunday, and that will obviously give teams a chance to come in and speak with him and offer him deals. And maybe, you know, when he's in that situation and it's the first time he can really truly look and go, oh, I can go and play X or Y or Z, maybe this is, you know, the moment when he decides to leap. And, you know, I know that this would not be an easy decision for Shane by any means. And, you know, I think if he had his druthers, of course, he'd stay in Phoenix. But with the uncertainty that remains there, there's at least a chance that he could find himself at a new address heading into next season.
All right. Hey, Chris, thanks so much for your insight and time. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Anytime, guys. Thank you.
Love what you hear. It's never been easier to listen to the NHL on XM wherever you are. Sign up for a free 14-day trial and get exclusive audio entertainment on the go, at home or in your car. XM. Love to listen.